We want to thank you today for joining us at Truth Chapel's podcast. I pray this word would bring you life. I pray that it would edify you, encourage you, and enlighten you. If you have a moment, please subscribe and leave us a review. We will be so grateful. God bless, and let this word speak to your heart today.
In the book of Matthew, chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, the Bible says, when Jesus saw the multitudes, that he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's Matthew 9, 36. 37 says this, then saith he to his disciples, the harvest. Somebody say the harvest. Say it again, the harvest. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, somebody say the laborers. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And in verse 38, he commands them to pray. Pray therefore, pray. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. This morning, if you allow me just a few moments, I want to talk to you about the end time harvest. The end time harvest. Can we pray together? Lord, we love you. We praise you. And we give you glory. What we feel in this house is your presence, your power, your express presence with us. I pray today that you would speak to us through your word, that you would challenge us, that you would ignite us, that you would set us on fire. God, that you would give us the tools and the authority to go into the end time harvest and to reap the souls that you have for us to reap. I pray today, Lord, that we would not just be hearers of this word, but that we would be doers of this word also. And Lord, we'll be so careful to give you praise and glory. And someone shout in Jesus' name. Come on, say it. I want to begin by telling you that we are living in the end time. If you were here for last week, then you know that I preached a little bit about the end time moment that we are living in. It's not that we understand the end times, but it's that we understand the times. Amen? Because we are not trying to calculate by some biblical Mayan calendar when the day will be, because Jesus is very clear when he tells us no man can know the day and no man can know the hour. And Jesus says this, he says, I will come like a thief in the night. And if the good man knew that the thief was coming, he would be prepared. There is not an awareness of the exact time and the exact place, but we are aware of the times. We are paying attention because the coming of the Lord is soon. The Bible tells us that when we see these things, that we should lift our eyes and we should prepare for the coming of the Lord. The Bible says that in the end times that men's heart would fail them because they are watching what the world is doing. So he gives a narrative to the church, not only a narrative, but a directive. He tells the church, don't look at what the world's doing. When you see the end time coming, lift up your eyes. Meaning, look away from the world. Understand the times, but don't focus on the times. Focus on me. Prepare for my coming. If you knew I was coming, you would be prepared. And I'm not going to go into it very deeply, but if you're paying attention to the news and you're watching what is going on in our world, then you cannot help but understand something is about to happen. Whether it be good, whether it be bad, whether it helped the church, whether it hurt the church, whether it be the ushering in of the coming of the Lord, or whether it be another stepping stone or another staging for the coming of the Lord, none of those things really matter. What we do know is that we should lift up our eyes because the end times, the times are upon us. There is a common thread in our news media today. The common thread is that no one knows exactly what's happening. There's trouble abroad and there's trouble at home. There is disunity and dysfunction. There is offense and there is drama on every hand. We have troubles right here in America that we cannot seem to solve. And how would we want to step into someone else's business without first handling our own? There is so many ways that we could navigate this time. The church could do many things in this time. There are many avenues that we could take. There are different options that we have. There's a lot of things that we could do. We could start end time prophecy classes, and I'm not opposed to that. We could start looking into the details of the book of Revelation, and I'm not opposed to that. The book of Revelation tells us that anybody that would read the book is blessed for reading the book. Didn't say you had to understand the book, just said read the book. I said this last week, but there are two great errors in the book of Revelation. The first error is that nothing can be understood. And the second error is that everything can be understood. The Bible just tells us to read it and you'll be blessed. And that is an option. That is a detail. That is an avenue that we could go down. And I'm not opposed to that. However, if you will let me for just a few moments tell you what I believe God wants the end time church to do. I believe what God desires for the end time church to be focused on is the end time harvest. Thank all four of you. I really appreciate you today for believing with me. You see, we don't really like to talk about the harvest because of a message I preached many years ago about the divine balance between the fork and the field. We are so busy sitting at the table, we haven't been in the field. Yeah, we want to talk about church. We don't want to talk about harvest. We want to talk about revival, but revival is for the saints, not for the lost. Revival is for us. It is not for them. It's for us to get our act together so God can bring people to people who are healthy. But the harvest is all about the world. The harvest is all about the lost souls. And God in the end time is looking for laborers. I know that he said this in the book of Matthew. But in the book of Matthew, you have to understand that in the eyes of God, the end times were beginning. This was the start of the end. This was the fruition. This was everything coming into culmination where it would begin an end time, and the end times would start from this place. The end times would begin here. In God's eyes, this was the beginning of the end. He would tell his disciples this. He would say, these are the end times. He would say, when you see these things, you know it's the end times. They saw those things in their lifetime. In their lifetime, the apostles saw everything that God said. I don't think that we really understand that today. I don't think that we really grasp that concept, that the apostles saw everything that Jesus said would happen in the end times. They saw false prophets. They saw people being offended. They saw everything that Jesus said they would see, nation against nation, wars and rumors of wars. I'm sure that those Christians sitting in the Acropolis, in the Colosseum, watching the lions and the dogs be released from their cages to come and eat them, I'm sure that those watching or those privy to what was happening, I'm sure that their minds were thinking, any day now. Any day now, he's coming. Any day now, he's on the way. Any day now. They lived the end time. Just as clearly as we are living them today. So was the end times then or was the end times now? My point is this, is that Jesus, when he said the end times, he meant time. from this moment, the beginning of the end, until I blow the trumpet and set my feet down upon Mount Carmel and call those that are dead first and those that remain to heaven with me. These are the end times. And so he tells his disciples, he said, pray. Do not pray for revelation. Do not pray for information. Do not pray for illumination. Pray. Pray for laborers. I know we're not going to run aisles today because I'm preaching about work. If I was preaching about worship, you'd be running already. You'd be shouting. But today I'm preaching about work. I'm not preaching about worship. Because what good is our worship if there's no work involved? Amen. What we have is so many people sitting at the table, eating from the great trough of God's holy word, but never going to the field to work it off. This is called spiritual obesity. It's called spiritual gluttony, where we eat, 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 and never work, work, work. We come to the church and we get and we gain and we glean and we leave full. But the only way to work that off is to get in the field. Yeah. The only way to work that off is to get in the field. But he tells them this in John 4. In John 4, verse 35, he said, do not say that there are 4 months and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. For they are white already to harvest. Herein lies a principle that you cannot go work in the field if you're not willing to look on the field. Get your eyes off your plate and look into the field. In the 9 o'clock services, messing with me today. Get your eyes out of the church and get in the field. You ever read the book of Ezekiel? Don't answer that question. Okay, maybe you never read Ezekiel, but you know this story, that the angel brings him to the temple, Brother Joey, and he gets that reed and he starts measuring. And at the temple, listen, at the temple, the water is around his feet. And he measures 1,000 furlongs. And he goes out, and the water's around his knees. And he goes out a little farther, and the water's around his waist. And he goes out a little farther, and the water's up to his chest. And only until he loses the bottom, only until he loses control, does he begin to get in the flow of the river. And when he gets into the flow of the river, the Bible begins to talk about all of the trees and all of the harvest and all of the plants and all of the life that was at the river. But as long as he was in the temple, it was just around his ankles. Does that not conjure up something in your mind? As long as we stay in the church, we'll be in the water, but we can only get ankle deep right here. I feel the Holy Ghost. I know you're not responding that well, but that's okay. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. Because as long as we keep it here, this is the kiddie pool, and we're splashing around, and we're having fun, and we can go a little further, but we can go to our knees and still be in control. We can go to our waist and still be in control. But the further we get this thing out of the church, the deeper it gets. And I can't control who God's bringing through the doors. And I can't control what's happening in the spirit realm. And I can't control what God is doing. And I can't control what God wants to do. All I am now is I'm just in the flow. And wherever God wants to go is where we go. But we want to put God in the box. That's why people want to understand revelation. That's why people get so caught up in revelation. Because they want to be able to say, well, 4 months. Well, it's not yet. Several years ago, I made a post on Twitter, back when it was Twitter. Just a simple post. It was just, I just felt it in the Holy Ghost. I just typed something out. I said, if the Lord came back today, are you ready? Question mark. Just simple. I had men of God texting me on my personal number saying, do you really think God can come back today? I said, absolutely. They said, well, the red heifer hadn't been sacrificed yet. The temple rock hadn't been rebuilt. They started going through all this stuff. I was like, see, that's your problem right there. You keep thinking about all this stuff that has to happen, and you don't even know what you're talking about. Because the best you can do is conjecture. That's the best you can do. The best you can do is say, you know what, this is what I think. But you ain't ever going to put God into that four-month box. If God decided today, you know what, it's a wrap, then guess what? I don't care if there's been a red heifer or not, it's a wrap. And you better get yourself ready. You better be ready day in and day out. And when the Lord comes calling, he better not find you sitting around the table fat and sassy. He better find you in the field saying, who can I bring? Who is... He better not find you looking for a specific type of harvest or a specific type of way, because it ain't a black harvest, it ain't a white harvest, it ain't a brown harvest, it's a soul harvest. If you got a soul, you can come in the kingdom. This harvest don't look a certain way. This harvest don't act a certain way. Whosoever will. Whosoever will. We got to get out in the field. I said, we got to get out in the field. The Bible says in Luke 17, verse 36, two men shall be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Oh, yeah. Do you hear the call of the Lord calling us to get back into the field? We have sit around the fatness of God's table and the fatness of God's glory, and we have not converted our food into energy. Oh, hallelujah. We want Red Bulls in the Holy Ghost. Energy drinks, quick fixes. It just falsely activates metabolism, but there's no sustainable benefit. To create real energy, you need proper diet and exercise. You need both things. You need diet and exercise. What you're putting in and how you're expending what you put in. The ratio of what you eat compared to how you work dictates the rate of metabolism and energy you produce. And some of you have no spiritual energy, and you wonder why you don't have energy, because you are faithful to church and you hear the word of God and you pay your tithes and you're following all the rules, but you have no energy because what you eat compared to how you work. And I got news for you today. I'm sorry, but your worship is not work. No. You're not working while you worship him. You're not working while you're... That's not work. That's glory to God. Work is when you go out in the field and you find somebody who needs the Lord and you tell them that God is good. I know we're not going to get a lot of response today because the church doesn't like preaching like this, because we want to be here. We want to have a good time, have good church, check off our box, slap high five, and talk about how good church was. But nobody wants to reach somebody who is broken and wounded and hurting. That's why only half of y'all clapping. Y'all ready for me to be done so you can go do something else. But and listen, I want to be done so you can go do something else. Get out of here and get out there and do something out there. Reach somebody, talk to somebody, preach to somebody, teach a Bible study. Oh, hallelujah. I come today to be pastor, and I come tell you that the end time harvest is going to require the church to work like we have never worked before, because it's hard to feed full people. I said, it's hard to feed full people, But you show me somebody that's been working all day long. They tired. They don't care what you're serving. I'll show you the sign of a fool, Christian. I don't like that kind of music. Oh, he preaching today? Well, I ain't pastor here. That service was kind of dead. No, you was dead. We got a bunch of picky Christians that want it their way right away or they're not going to eat. That tells me you fool. But you find somebody that's been working out in that field, been putting in time, effort. When they come, they don't care if it's steak or pizza. They say, feed me. I'm hungry. Give me something, preacher. We don't have to pump you up. We don't have to prime you up. We don't have to lift you up. When you come in ready to worship and ready to glorify God because you have expended the energy that you have eaten. Oh, hallelujah. When God said, Elijah, get off this mountain because I'm giving you a new man. You got to replace yourself. He found Elisha. Where was Elisha? Elisha was in the field. He wasn't sitting on the couch watching Netflix and eating Cheetos. He was in the field. He was working. And when Elijah found Elisha, he put that mantle on him. He put him on him while he was in the field. Ruth did not find Boaz at the single service down the road. No, Ruth found Boaz when Ruth got in the field and she began to glean. And Boaz said, who's that in my field? When she was in the field, God gave her a man in the field. Hallelujah. The Bible says in Genesis 24 that when Rebekah was coming, before she could ever get to the house, before she could ever see what the house looked like, she saw what her husband looked like. He was in the field working. And the Bible says when Rebekah saw him in the field, she lit off her candle. She said, I got to go see this man. What are you saying? I'm saying some of y'all need to get in the field. Maybe you'll find a man. Some of y'all need to get in the field. Maybe you'll find a woman. We don't flirt to convert, but I'm going to tell you right now, we're swimming around in a pool where everybody's starting to look alike. We got to get some new blood in the house. The Bible says, the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 20, when Saul was trying to kill David, where did David go? The Bible said David fled and he hid in the field. He was hiding in the field. The devil wants to kill most of us, but he can find us. You know where he can find us? Sitting around the table. But you know where he can't find us? When we're in the field working for the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Again, Matthew 13:44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid, not under a pew, not behind a microphone. You know where this hid? The treasure, you know where it's hid? In the field. The treasure's in the field. The treasure ain't in here. The treasure's out there. And when a man find it, he hideth. And for joy thereof, go and sell all that he has and buyeth the field. He said, I want the whole field because the treasure is worth the whole field. Let me just say this to you. The first Bible study you teach, the first person that says, oh, I see it, and you bring him here to this church and baptize him in Jesus' name yourself. The first time you're talking to somebody in the quick trip and they walk through these doors, you're going to realize, oh, I don't want to do nothing else but that. Because the field is addicting. Because the field is where you can see the fruit of your labor. That's why, listen, this is why Christians get burned out. Because all they do is work at the church, and work at the church will burn you out. But who are you talking to? Who are you ministering to? Just a couple days ago, laid up at Loganville Dentistry, breathing in some, what's it called, nitrous. Now I was feeling good. The little hygienist came in. Her name is Sandy. Sandy said, I heard that you were a pastor. I said, yeah, I'm a pastor. I was trying to keep my thoughts together so I didn't say nothing dumb. Because I say dumb stuff regular. I don't know what I'm going to say when I'm high. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to keep my mind. She said, I heard you're a pastor. I said, yes, I'm a pastor. So I pastor a church right here in Loganville. She said, what kind of church is it? I said, it's an all kind of church. We all kind. Because, you know, we Methodists because we believe there's a method to the madness. And we're Baptists because we baptize in Jesus' name. And we're Presbyterians because we press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. We're Catholic because Catholic means universal. We believe it's for everybody. She said, well, I was raised Pentecostal. I said, you would like it at Truth Chapel. She left the room. She came back in the room, tears in her eyes. She said, I'm just so emotional. I said, because this is not coincidence, Sandy. Laying on a table with my mouth open, don't matter where you're at, because the field is addicting. I said, Sandy, God put us together for this moment. And in Jesus' name, she's going to be here with her family at 11:30 today. Why? Because I'm always in the field. You say, Pastor Chavis, you're preaching about the field. What does the field look like, Loganville Dentistry? What does the field look like, QT? What does the field look like, the barbershop? What does the field look like, Walmart? What does the field look like, the football game? What does the field look like, the softball game? The field is everywhere. Lift up thine eyes. The harvest is ready. We are not waiting on the harvest. The harvest is waiting on us. We're not waiting on the harvest. The harvest is waiting on us. The harvest has been ready since Jesus lifted his eyes in the book of Matthew 2,000 years ago. When he lifted his eyes, the harvest was already ready. The harvest is waiting on a church that will put down all the forks and all the food and all the plates and say, hey, give me my sickle. I'm going into the field. I'm going to work. I'm going to get it. When Jesus Christ was born, when the Messiah came, he did not tell kings, he did not tell queens, he did not tell princes, he did not tell politicians, he did not tell rich, he did not tell the rulers. The Sadducees missed it. The Pharisees missed it. He did not tell priests, he didn't tell presidents, but he went and he told shepherds in the field. And the shepherds had a front row seat to the greatest concert in the history of time. As the angels who could not contain themselves had to tell somebody, they went into the field and they said, glory, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. He's born. And the angels gave the shepherds coordinates. Hear me. The shepherds in the field not only got a song and a concert, the only concert heaven has ever had on earth, shepherds in a field had the only tickets. And not only did they get a concert, but the angels gave them the coordinates to where the baby lay. And if our attempt as a church is to really find Jesus, we got to get in the field. We must get into an end time harvest. I'm closing. Music can come. I know that Esau lost his blessing. I know. But Esau had something. The Bible would give us a description of Esau. And the description is interesting to me. And I wonder if any of us could fall under this description. Here's what the Bible said about Esau. Esau had the smell of the field on him. He smelled like the field. wonder if somebody came in Truth Chapel today with a spiritual nose. What would we smell like? Does it smell like the field in here? Or does it smell like the whole family has pulled up to mama's table? And we're just eating. We're laughing. We're telling jokes. We're having a good time. And just outside the doors, there's harvest blowing with every wind of doctrine. Just enjoying church. And there's an end time harvest. As far as the eye could see, the Lord brought me and my family to this city because this is my field. This is the field in which the Lord has directed me, called me, commanded me to work in. And I love this city. I love this place. I love these people. Sometimes when I'm driving through this city, I'm praying over neighborhoods. I see a new neighborhood coming up. Do you know that they're about to build hundreds of apartments across the street from us at Hoko Kelly? You see all that land they're clearing over there? Hundreds of apartments. Harvest. Will they even know we exist? What do we smell like? Will they resist us because they're just tired of church? You know why churches are falling apart today and more people are leaving church and are joining churches today? It's because people are tired of church. They're tired of just regular old. It's the same thing. We're going to sing a few songs. Take up an offering, slap high five, go home. Preach a little sermonette for Christianettes. Have some fun together, eat some food maybe, celebrate. Then we're going to go home. We're going to forget about it. On our way home, we may stop at a quick stop. At our way home, we may go to a restaurant, and we'll run into no less than 5 people who are unsaved, have no church, going through hell, living in a mess. Probably prayed the night before, Lord, send somebody to help me. And we'll sit with our suit and ties and we'll dip chips and talk about, man, wasn't it good? And the harvest is just hanging out around us. No wonder they don't want to come. We're self-centered. Egotistical. We are self-serving. It's all about us. But I pray today. And here's what I pray. God, I'm not praying for worshipers today. I'm not praying for volunteers. No. I'm not praying for talent or gifting or abilities. No. Lord, would you send me laborers? Send me laborers. Send me people that ain't afraid to work, that ain't afraid to love on people that don't look like them, don't dress like them, don't smell like them, don't act like them. Send me people that have not forgotten that they were once purged from their sins. Send me people that would rather work out there than work in here. We got to have it, Lord. We got to have the volunteer. We got to have the worker. We got to have the people. Absolutely, we got to have it. But Lord, I wish that every worker in here and every volunteer in here will become a soul winner and reach an end time harvest. If any of us could get this in our minds today, this building isn't big enough. the 35 acres isn't big enough. Truth Chapel's not big enough as an entity. The corporation couldn't hold it. Because people are looking for someone to just reach out. I wrote a song in 2009. Brother, get in. Give me the key of C. I wrote a song in 2009 before I ever felt to pastor a church, before I ever felt to come to this city. We moved here in 2012, and the Lord started dealing with me about starting a church probably at the very beginning of 2011, the end of 2010. But in 2009, these people asked me to write a song for an event, for a service. I said, I'll write a song. Well, they asked me to pick a song. I went through the song list. I said, I don't like none of these songs. I asked them, I said, would you mind if I wrote a song? They said, yeah, that's fine. You know, we'll give you a couple months if you can write a song. I left that meeting that day, I left that meeting. And I had about a 40-minute drive to pick my wife up for lunch. I was in St. Louis, Missouri. And when I got in the car, I prayed. I said, Lord, give me a song that will move the church to get in the field. And I didn't write it. I just knew it. I knew the words. I knew the chorus. I knew the bridge. I knew it. When I picked my wife up, I was singing it in the car, just like kind of under my breath, just singing. As we driving in the road, my wife says, that is beautiful. Where did you hear that? And that's when it hit me. And I said, babe, I think I just wrote it. It was a download from heaven. And I'm not going to sing the whole thing today. I just want to sing this one part of it. And it goes like this. Help me, I'm falling. Does anybody hear me calling out? I'm calling out for help. Save myself, or I'd save myself, but I need someone to help me. Help me, I'm falling. Does anybody hear me calling out? I'm calling out. I'm in too deep to save myself, or I'd save myself, but I need someone to help me. Just play that. I wonder if you'd stand to your feet. I'm closing today. And I wonder if there's anybody in this room today that would like to come to an altar. Here's what I'd like you to pray. Lord, baptize me with a fresh love for the harvest. God, baptize me with a fresh love for the harvest. Would you take a moment right now and would you pray that? God, baptize me with a fresh love for the harvest. I know you want to come pray for yourself. I know you want to say, Lord, fix me. And I understand that. And there's time for that. But right now, I want you to say, Lord, empower me. God, break my heart with what breaks yours. Let me see them like you see them. God, my world needs you right now. My world needs you right now. Help me, I'm falling. Does anybody hear me calling out? Calling out. Myself, but I need lift your voice and to say, Lord, Lord, empower me to reach somebody this week. God, put them in my way. Put them in my way. Open my eyes. Give me the power. Give me the desire. Give me the longing. Somebody needs me. I don't know who they are yet, but somebody needs me to help them. Somebody needs me to reach them. Today, I want to say this to you. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. And the seraphims were there. They cried, holy, holy. And the doorpost moved the sound of the voice of the angels. And Isaiah says, when I seen this and I heard this, I said, woe is me. Woe is me. I don't even belong to, I don't even deserve to be here. I don't belong here. Woe is me. He said, I'm unclean. I have unclean lips. I come from a people of unclean lips. I got a bad history. He said, woe is me. Because real glory makes you say, woe. It doesn't make you say, wow. Real glory doesn't make us say, wow. Real glory makes us say, whoa. It brings the humility. And Isaiah says, I said, whoa. And then he says, I heard the Lord speak. I heard the Lord speak. And here's what the Lord said. Who will go? Who will go? Because the glory always has a go in it. God never meets us here and gives us what we feel right now just so we can enjoy this. But every moment that God comes and he pours his spirit into this house, every time we feel glory, there's always a go in the glory. You come and you get what you need from the Lord. The next step is to go. Go. Who will go? Do not get so caught up in the woe that you forget to go. We have built systems and culture around the woe. We have forgotten to go. But the voice of the Lord is still crying today, who will go? And whom shall we send? Isaiah said, here am I. Here am I. First he said, woe. He said, I don't deserve to be here. But when he heard the go, he said, wait a minute. No, I'll go. Send me. Send me, Lord. I'll do it. Because humility in God's presence should always make us desire to go give what we've gotten. Now, I wonder, before we leave here today, as we close this service, would you just lift your voice one time and would you just pray this prayer? Here am I. Send me. There's a young lady in a restaurant today who's been praying for an answer. Here am I. Send me. There's a coworker on your job who you talk to every day. You don't know this, but they've been praying for an answer. They've been seeking. They've been reading their Bible. They're hungry. You ought to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. There's a family member who you would never think God could save, but they've been going through troubles and trials, and they've been asking God. They're hungry. They're right on the verge of making a decision, and all they need is a conversation from somebody who knows. So, Lord, here am I. Send me. Your neighbor right now, your neighbor's been watching you. They know you're different. They know you act different, you talk different, you look different. You ought to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Jesus, all over this building right now, we just begin to lift our voice in worship. Lord, I thank you for your word today. It's right, and it's right on time. It's healing and it's helpful. It's also challenging. It's pressing. The weight of the word is on us today. And God, I pray that we would do the right thing with the word. God, I pray that we would get into the field. I pray for laborers. I pray you'd make me a laborer first. God, make me a laborer. I want to be a laborer in your kingdom. I don't want to just sit around your table. But I want to work in your field too. In Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands and give God worship in this house?
We want to thank you again for joining us on the Truth Chapel podcast. May you have a blessed day and walk in the favor of the Lord.